escape the service for your special class. I appreciate those who are serving with you, giving you a special time tonight. May the Lord bless them. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 2, asking the Lord to touch this sermon that we've come to in this hour, asking the Lord to bless it and speak to our hearts. Thank you for being in the house of God tonight. I appreciate you being here. I think there's somewhere close to 3,000 people here tonight. It's outstanding. All of that, I'm just kidding with you. We appreciate you coming. Good crowd tonight. Thank you for being here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." If you mark your Bible, I want you to notice the last phrase of verse number 5. It's the phrase, "the man Christ Jesus." The man Christ Jesus. And I want to speak to you on the man Christ Jesus tonight. Let's pray together. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord God, for how you've met with us today and how we've seen eternal things done today. We give you praise for that. And I pray for this service tonight that you'll calm our hearts and bring us to the Word of God with a silent spirit, asking you to speak to us. And I pray, dear God, that you'll empower me with the Holy Ghost of God in a way that it's obvious that you're at work tonight. I need your help. I can't do this. And may your will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 5 of these verses that I read to you tonight, we see the most important and key theme of the entire Word of God. As a matter of fact, we cannot preach on anyone or anything more important than the man Christ Jesus. Some 2,000 years ago, the Virgin Mary gave birth to God's only begotten Son and called His name Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. What a thought tonight that Christ Jesus became a man without ceasing to be God. Notice in verse number 3 that verse 3 identifies God as our Savior. But yet elsewhere in Scripture, there's only one Savior. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In this verse, we see Jehovah God is the only Savior. Yet in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus Christ is identified as our Savior. Let me say loud and clear that Jesus Christ was not just a good man. He is God. He is the Savior. John 8:58, Jesus saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." In John 1:48, Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Talking about Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." The man Christ Jesus is also the God of eternity. And as we get to this text, and I just want to just draw your attention to these few verses that I read here about the man Christ Jesus, I don't want you to be confused that it calls him the man Christ Jesus here, and we know that because he was born of the Virgin Mary, but he did not begin in Bethlehem. He was the God of eternity, no doubt about it. And as we look at this together, just by means of introduction, in the Old Testament, you'll find a name for God in all capital letters. It's the name Lord, L-O-R-D, in all capital letters. That is the designation of Jehovah God. That's what it is. It's Jehovah God. It's the eternal, self-sufficient one, the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. And yet in the Old Testament, we identify that there's several things said about Jehovah God, that in the New Testament, the identical things are said about Jesus Christ. Now, folks, we know the Word of God is true from cover to cover. Amen. And we know there's no errors or contradictions in this blessed book. Which leaves us to only one conclusion, that if the same thing is said about Jesus in the New Testament that's said about Jehovah God in the Old Testament, and they cannot be mixed and they cannot be compared, what I'm saying to you is that the Jehovah God of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. For instance, Jehovah God in Isaiah 44, verse 24, is known as the Creator. I'm not going to turn to these because this would be as far as I'd get tonight. Okay, I'm trying to get to my outline here. In Isaiah 44, 24, Jehovah God, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In your Bible, in Isaiah 44, 24, He's the Creator. Yet in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus Christ is the Creator. You'll notice in Isaiah 43, verse 11, that Jehovah God, all capital letters, is the only Savior. Not one Savior, but the one and only Savior. Yet in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior. In Psalm 95, verse 3, Jehovah God, all capital letters, He is known as King of Kings. Does that ring a bell? He's King of Kings. Yet in 1 Timothy 6, 14 and 15, the Lord Jesus is King of Kings. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, Jehovah God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Yet in Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 to 18, Jesus Christ is identified as Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. In Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11, Jehovah God is the Good Shepherd. Yet John 10, verse 11, Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. In Isaiah 45, verse 23, to Jehovah God, all capital letters, every knee will bow. Yet in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, every knee will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. I'm simply trying to tell you that Jesus Christ is God. And here we're looking at Him as the man Christ Jesus, because God became man by means of the virgin birth, so you and I can become a child of God. Now there's three things I want you to see with me in these verses right here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Three things about the man Christ Jesus, God who became man through the virgin birth. Three things about Him. Number one, we see first of all in verse 4, we notice His will. You'll notice this now, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Make no mistakes about it. It is the will of God for all men to be saved. There is a movement going on today. It's known as hyper-Calvinism. And this movement of hyper-Calvinism, and even Calvinism to certain degrees, where they teach that God has chosen some to eternal life and He's chosen others to eternal death. In other words, only the elect can be saved. And if you're not part of the elect, it's impossible for you to be saved. Are you listening to me? This teaching is absolutely false. And I don't want it anywhere close to this local church. Because we see here that it is the will of God that all men be saved and all come unto the knowledge of the truth. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, it says, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. In Hebrews 2, 9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. The satisfaction, if you will, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse number 6 says, who gave Himself a ransom for all, the Bible says. It's God's will. It's the man Christ Jesus' will. It's God who became man. It's His will that everybody be saved. Everybody trust Christ. Everybody say yes to Jesus. This is number one. The second thing we notice is found in verses 5 and 6. Not only do we see His will in verse number 4, but we see His work in verse number 5 and 6. Notice this. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In these two verses, we see the work of the man Christ Jesus. I want to look at these works closely here because, see, it's his will that everybody be saved. And in order for everybody to be saved, he had to work so everybody can be saved. And as you look at these things, I've broken it down into two major things. First of all, in verse 5, his work of mediation. You'll notice here the Bible calls him a mediator. There's one mediator between God the Father. That's what it's talking about, and men. And it's the man, the go-between. He's the mediator. That word literally means go-between. It's what it means. It means a reconciler. It carries the idea of two being at disagreement or at enmity with one another. What it does is it carries the idea of God being at enmity against us. Remember, we talked about this morning, that his wrath is upon the sin. And I'm talking about those who are lost, the wicked. The wrath of God is upon them. We are not at one with him when we're born. We are at disagreement with him. We're born at enmity with God. The Bible teaches this, plainly teaches that when we were born in sin, we were born at enmity with God. But yet the man Christ Jesus, God, the Jehovah God of the Old Testament, he became a man through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So through his death, he's standing between God the Father and he's standing between man, and he's bringing us back together. He's mediating. He's reconciling. Folks, get this. We are naturally children of wrath, Ephesians 2:11. Born at enmity with God, Ephesians 2:11 and 12. Separated from God by sin, Isaiah 59:2. But Jesus Christ has stepped in and he's reconciled us to God by his sacrifice. Romans 5:10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Notice the one mediator. There's one. He says there's one mediator. It's not the Pope. It's not Mary. It's not another human being. It's not me. It's not you. It's not my church. It's not other churches. The one mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. The Lord Jesus became a man. That's when him grabbing us with one hand, if you will, without ever ceasing to be God, and he grabs God the Father, and he brings us together again by his own death. Job 9, verse 33 says, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Thank God we do have a daysman. It's Jesus Christ. When he became a man, he became a man to make man the children of God. He is the mediator. His work of mediation. Number 2, verse 6, his work of redemption. The Bible says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A ransom, redeem. He's redeeming us. You know, before a person receives the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they are sold under sin, Romans 7:14. They're sold under sin, under bondage and under condemnation. But the man Christ Jesus gave himself to buy me off the slave block of sin. That's what redemption means. I am there on the slave block of sin, but when Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, when I put my faith and trust in him, he buys me off that slave block of sin. He redeems me by his precious blood. The Bible teaches this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18 and 19. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he says. Romans 5, 6, Christ died for the ungodly. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says it this way, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom, talking about Christ in context, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. If you know the Word of God, we were hopeless in debt and Jesus paid the debt for us. Luke 7:41-50. We were slaves and Jesus came to the marketplace to redeem us from bondage. Ephesians 1:8. We were condemned criminals before the judgment seat of God and Jesus bore our penalty in order to set us free. Romans 5:16. We were unclean Gentiles excluded by our defilement of sin from the presence of God in the temple, and Jesus gave Himself as a sacrifice to consecrate for us a way to the throne of mercy, Ephesians 2:13 and 14. We were children in disgrace, far from home, and Jesus brought us back to the family circle, Ephesians 2:18 and 19. We were captives confined to the fortress of Satan, and Jesus broke in to deliver us, Colossians 2:15. The point is number one, His will is that all men may be saved. Point number two, His work has made it possible so all men can be saved. He's the mediator. He has mediated for us. He's the go-between. God is satisfied with Him. I'm talking about God the Father is satisfied with God the Son and His sacrifice so sinful man can come back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His work of mediation. Then we see His work of redemption. He buys us back. In other words, His price He paid is enough. That's what it means. An orphan boy was living with his grandmother when their house caught on fire. The grandmother, trying to get upstairs to rescue the boy, perished in the flames. She died. The boy's cries for help were finally answered by a man who climbed an iron drain pipe and came back down with the boy hanging tightly to his neck. No doubt in that fire, and this is the way it goes here, as he grabbed that iron drain pipe, it was flaming hot. And he was climbing up that drain pipe like this to try to get to the screams of that boy. And he grabbed that boy, put him on his neck, and the boy holding on, and he went right back down that hot iron drain pipe. Several weeks later, a public hearing was held to determine who would receive custody of the child because his grandmother died in the flames. A farmer, a teacher, the town's wealthiest citizen all gave the reasons they felt they should be chosen to give the boy home. But as they talked and tried to plead their case, the little boy's eyes just remained focused on the floor. Then a stranger walked to the front and slowly took his hands from his pockets. It was the man who climbed to save him, you see. And they were all scarred. And when he put his hands out of his pockets and revealed the severe scars on them, as the crowd gasped, the boy cried out in recognition. This was the man who saved his life. His hands had been burned when he climbed the hot pipe. And with a leap, the boy threw his arms around the man's neck and held on for dear life. The other men silently walked away, leaving the boy and his rescuer alone. See, those marred hands had settled the case. You know, there are many voices calling for our attention. But among them is the one whose nail-pierced hands remind us that He has rescued us from sin and its deadly consequences. And folks, to Him belong our love and devotion. The next time you think about Jesus, can you just see Him just taking His hands out of His pocket and revealing the scars? You listening to me? Those scars are our mediation and our redemption. Because He's not willing that any should perish, including you and including me. His will, His work. Tom carried his new boat to the edge of the river. He carefully placed it in the water and slowly let out the string. How smoothly the boat sailed, and Tom sat in the warm sunshine admiring the little boat that he had built. He built it. He was its creator. But suddenly a strong current caught the boat and Tom tried to pull it back to shore, but the string broke and the little boat raced downstream. He ran along the sandy shore as fast as he could, but his little boat just soon slipped out of sight. And All afternoon he searched for the boat, but finally when it was too dark to look any longer, Tom sadly went home. A few days later on the way home from school, Tom spotted a boat just like his in a store window. When he got closer, he could see, and sure enough, it was his. That was his boat. He's won't build it. He lost it, you know, because all it said, but somebody found it and put it in the store window. Tom hurried to the store manager and said, "Sir, that's my boat in your window. I made it. I made that boat." "Sorry, son, but someone else brought it in this morning, and if you want it, you're going to have to buy it for $1. Tom ran home and counted all of his money, exactly $1. When he reached the store, he rushed to the counter. He said, "Here's the money for my boat." You see him taking the boat now. He made it in the first place, but he had to buy it back, you see. And as he left the store, he hugged his boat and he said, talking to his boat, he said, "Now you're twice mine." He said, "First I made you, but now I bought you." Are you listening to me? Jesus Christ made you, friends. He's the Creator God. You're His by creation. But if that's all you are and you die, you will not make it to heaven. Because you being His by creation is not enough. Because we're sinners, we're lost, we're undone without Christ, the enmity of God against us. But because of His mediation work and His redemption work, He not only wants to be your Creator, which He is, He wants to buy you. He wants to buy you back. He wants to pay off your debt. And folks, that's the only way that you'll make it to heaven. There's a little chorus that said, "He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay." We see His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He's willing that all be saved. We see His work makes it possible so everybody can be saved. The work of mediation and the work of redemption. And then finally in verses 6 and 7 we see His witness. Because in verses 6 and 7 it says, "And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father." Excuse me, I'm in the wrong passage here. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 6 the Bible says, "Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Look at verse 7. "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." In a nutshell, we see the Apostle Paul testifying to the fact that what he just dealt with, the matter of the gospel being for all men and God not being willing that any should perish, and the man Christ Jesus bringing us back into right standing with God by paying the ransom with His own precious blood. He's saying in context that He was appointed a witness for these things, a preacher, a testifier to these things, to share it everywhere He went, spreading the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. In other words, in the same way, if you have received the man Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've trusted Him and Him alone to forgive you and change you and take you to heaven when you die, you too have been ordained a witness to the truth that Jesus Christ saves. He's the only one. Nobody will make it to heaven outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one and only way to make it to heaven. And we need to tell this lost and dying world that news that I just said to you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What a privilege, what an honor it is to be a witness of the truth of the gospel, spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. See, the man Christ Jesus, who is God, He has a will for all to be saved. Makes no difference who they are. He has performed the work of mediation and redemption so all can be saved. And He has a witness in all of God's children so that they can go tell the world about His work and His will for them to be saved. So I ask you a question tonight. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ and Christ alone as your Lord and your Savior? I want to be a pastor that never takes anything for granted. The fact of the matter is how terrible would it be to end up in an eternity away from God, sitting in a pew at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Don't let it happen to you. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt. I'm not trying to get anybody to question today. But folks, we need to know for sure that we know Jesus as our Savior. And if you do, it's only possible because He wasn't willing that you perish. Do you see that? It's only possible because He did the work to appease God the Father so you can get back to Him through Jesus Christ. And folks, now that you are saved, if you know the Lord, if you've trusted Christ, this is our emphasis. This is what we're pushing for. God wants you to tell the world about Him. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. So I encourage you tonight. It's a good crowd. Thank you for being here. Some visiting with us, thank you for being here. I want you to feel right at home, feel welcome here. And I want you to know that this is serious business. This is serious. Hey, what you do with Jesus depends, what I'm saying to you will determine your eternity. This church cannot save you. I cannot save you. I can't save me. I cannot earn the favor of God. Friends, it's a perfect place. God dwells there. His immediate presence is there. And the Bible teaches He's not going to let anything, nothing, come to heaven to defile it. Not one thing. He's not going to let one thing enter heaven to defile it. Not one. You know what that tells me? You've got to be perfect. Are you listening? You're not. I'm not either. I know that shocks you, but I'm not perfect. And because I'm not perfect, I need help to get there. And it's not in what I do, it's what He has done for me, and I put my faith and trust in Christ, and if I die, don't worry about me. Listen, I'm going to heaven. I know I am. I know I am. But it's only because of what Jesus did. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Him, understand His will. He wants all to be saved. Understand His work. He has done the work to make it possible so you can be saved. And if you are saved, see the privilege. He's given us the gospel and says, I want you to go tell somebody else about it. Do you at least understand the message? May the Lord add His blessing to it. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I pray tonight that You'll take these thoughts and use them. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we do this to give people some privacy. I want to ask you a question. Who are you trusting to get you to heaven? Who are you trusting to make you at peace with God? I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, the only one who can appease God the Father, the only one who can save our soul, the only one is Jesus Christ. That's it. He's it. It's Him or nothing. I want to ask you a question as they begin to play through softly. I want to ask you a question. I want you to be very serious. If the worst thing happened and you died right now, I mean, you had a massive heart attack and you just fell over in your seat, do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." It is not God's will for you to think you're going. It's not God's will for you to hope you're going. It's God's will for us to know we're going. And if you know that you're a child of God, what I'm asking is that you've put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. If you know that that's happened to you, something right now inside of you ought to be rejoicing. You ought to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I appreciate it." And you ought to take the rest of your time to give the gospel to other people. Tonight in a Sunday night service like this, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything on planet Earth. But I wonder, is there one here tonight, you say, "Pastor Jody, if what you preach is true, that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven, that He is God and He's became man through the virgin birth, and He is the one and only way to heaven, if what you preach is true, and I'm concerned that I'm lost, I'd like to learn more about this. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I give you my word on that. You're among friends. But if you're here tonight and you say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I'd like to learn more about this." Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, "Would you pray for me? I'd like to learn more." Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. If you're saved today, what a privilege it is to be known as a gospel witness of Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to be on fire for this. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for this thought tonight, that you have a will, you have a work, and you have a witness. And I pray that you'll help us today to be faithful to you. And I pray that you help us to be all that you've saved us and called us to be. Draw people to yourself, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary is singing. If God is speaking to you, maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord for saving you. Maybe you want to come and ask God to help you be a gospel witness. Or maybe you need to come and say, "I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I'd like to learn more about it." As he sings, would you come now? As he sings, come on. Let us help you.
Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for thee. Lord, there are souls that I should win, lost souls for whom you died, and may I never draw back or sin with fear or foolish pride. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for thee.
You can look this way. We're just about done. Remind you of some things here. As you leave tonight, if you want to sign up, nobody has to do this, but I encourage you, if you want to sign up for 13 weeks of going with somebody else out to tell people about the Lord, I want you to fill this out, put it in the drop box. It's out on the Welcome Center. We'll get you partnered up, and I'll contact you, or somebody will contact you, and all of that. If you'll just sign up, I'd like to get a good idea of that. There's some of these Reaching My Friend cards out there, friends, relatives, associates, neighbors. This is for you to keep. I encourage you to get these and write down your friends and your relatives, associates, and neighbors that you're concerned about. Invite them to church, and there's some instructions for you on the front of this, how to try to reach them with the gospel. We're asking God to touch that in a great way. Hey, this works. I met folks this morning that were invited to church just because somebody in this church invited them to come. They were here today. It works, and we appreciate that. And if you're visiting with us tonight, welcome to the church service. Please take your visitor's card, or even if you didn't fill it out, I hope you'll go by the Welcome Center. We've got a gift for you. Just want to be a blessing to you tonight. That'll be a good thing, asking God to help us. I do remind you about next Sunday morning, strong salvation push, and may the Lord add His blessing to it. Try to get somebody here who needs Jesus. That'll be a good thing. Okay? Very good. Brother Jamie Pendleton, appreciate you, sir. If you'll pray and dismiss us tonight, sir, please. Thank you.